Sarah sipping hot sweet tea and biting into spicy potato bondas, freshly cooked by Madhu. Of Madhu herself, in her pink sari with white flowers, washing clothes beside the well and smiling when she saw Shirin, opening her arms wide and welcoming her in, smelling of washing soap and fried onions, and whispering in her ear, "You came? I knew you would." Coconut tree fronds danced in the wind, displacing drops of rain like the holy water Father Sakira sprinkled across the pews as he walked down the church aisle on feast days. And the crows that were perched on the branches flew away, black silhouettes against a moody sky. The tamarind tree in the front courtyard bent like a weary old man from the weight of its ripe, knobbly fruit. Her father, Walter, sat under it on the threadbare rattan stool, absently swatting at mosquitoes as he read his Bible, its pages worn from use, the ever-present bottle of water by his side, within easy reach. Her sister, Anita, squatted on the veranda, recounting earnestly everything that had happened to her that day. And Shirin felt guilty, as she only half listened, nodding at appropriate times, her mind wandering. Deepak slouched with his gang of friends by the church and eyed all the college girls. He laughed, eyes twinkling, momentarily distracted from his perusal of Anjali, his latest crush, by Shirin's expression when she found the dead lizard he had left as a souvenir in her accountancy textbook. Her mother, Jacinta, resplendent in her blue and gold sari, dressed ready to go to church, entreated, "I have to attend this parish council meeting. Shirin, don't you be gone when I come back. Please, Shirin, we have so much to talk about." Worry lines creased Jacinta's face, and Shirin wondered why her reserved, unflappable mother looked so concerned. Jacinta left, walking down the hill past the mango trees. Shirin saw her making her way between the fields, the green ears of paddy bending gracefully, eavesdropping on whispered conversations. Jacinta looked back at Shirin one last time, a plea in her eyes. A baby. Red scrunched up face. Downy golden skin. Mewling minuscule mouth. Toothless red gums. Chubby arms extended upwards. Tiny hands bunched into fists reaching out. Shirin woke with a start, hot tears streaming down her cheeks. She reached for Vinod, but the empty space beside her told her that he had already left for work. She glanced bleary-eyed at the bedside clock. 8 a.m. The phone beckoned. She picked it up, dialed Vinod's number. "Hello?" he said. In the background, she could hear chatter in the steady chug-a-chug of the train Vinod took to work. Normal, working-day sounds. "Vinod?" she whispered. "Yes?" he prompted. He was taciturn, but never impatient. "Vinod, I want to go home." The day was populated with ghosts. Ghosts from a past that Shirin had tried desperately to relegate to a corner of her heart. Ghosts that stubbornly refused to stay quiet or hidden, and every so often manifested in memories that washed over her and left her dizzy with yearning. She was waiting, the engine of her Honda Civic idling, at a pedestrian crossing on the way to work, wishing away the headache that loomed behind her eyelids, when she felt premonition chill her spine. She looked up, and her gaze was held by a pair of eyes. Cold, empty, and yet somehow accusatory. Among the press of people crossing the road, she was aware of a rushing in her ears, of her whole body trembling, of her heart's